appreciate him and Miss Sandra and the blessing they are. I appreciate his heart for camp meeting and how God has used him over the past years to be a blessing to us. Brother Larry, you come around and preach as the Lord's given you direction. The service is yours. I love you, brother.
It's Blue Ridge Baptist. You'll find the scripture tonight in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 21. And I do want to say that I'm always humbled and honored to have this privilege to stand in this special place. Someone this morning was talking about being a young preacher and getting nervous. I think it gets worse for me. I know this, if God doesn't help me, it'll be sad. But I certainly am grateful for this day and all the wonderful preaching that we've heard. And these young men this morning, and then Brother Dana, not that he's not young, but I appreciate Brother Dana's message and the message that we just heard on the home. Thank you so much. And it's always a humbling experience to be able to stand in this pulpit where so many great men of God have stood in past years. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 21. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. Let's bow our heads, please, while we pray. Our Father, I bow in your presence tonight, ask you to forgive me. Cleanse me of every sin, every word, every thought, lust, action, attitude, whatever about me that's unchristlike. I pray that you'll cleanse me of it. Lord, thou said that you cannot and will not hear us if we regard iniquity in our heart. Thank you for this day, for the wonderful songs that we've heard tonight and throughout the day, for the men of God and for each message. Thank you. I want to thank you for speaking to my own heart through your servants. Thank you for this camp meeting. Thank you for Calvary Baptist Church and Brother Dagenhart and all those, Lord, that support this meeting. Lord, you know the need of this hour. I pray now that you will be pleased to work in our hearts and in our lives so that when we leave tonight, we'll be aware that God's spoken to us and that God has said something to our hearts. I pray that you'll drive back every evil spirit, every satanic force, every demonic power, that the Spirit of God shall have full control in this hour. Touch thy servant. I pray for thy special anointing. I pray for every man that will stand in this place. I pray that you'll stir up that anointing that you put on them. And I pray, Lord, that you'll make these special days. We love you because you first loved us and gave yourself for us. In the name that's above every name, the name of our blessed, blood-stained Redeemer, I pray, amen. I want to speak to you as we look at these verses, especially verse 25, the focus of our attention, on time to go to church. Christ loves the church, and the New Testament always and always envisions the church with the assembling of God's people. The reality of Christian faith has its object as Jesus Christ, and therefore it's the most holy faith. It is the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And I don't have to remind you that what worked in the first century will work in the 21st century. It is a privilege to be a part of the church. Thank God for every Christian home that makes up the churches, as we've just heard. But I'm grateful for the privilege to be a part of a local church. It was the church that prayed for me. It has been the church that has been my meat and my strength down through these years. I know that we live in an hour when sometimes little emphasis is placed on the church. And the fact that the Lord has established the church sometimes is ignored. And even there are places that have removed the name church to worship center. Well, the church ought to be a worship center, but I still like the church. Christ loved the church. Christ died for the church. Christ is coming for the church. And I refuse to hang my head in shame and apologize to a godly, graceless, goofy world that despises the church. I'm a part of the church, of the church of the firstborn, written in heaven. And more, and just as important, I'm a member of a local church. And I serve the Lord through this local church. Now, as you know, this has been a very difficult year, the past year. And by the way, it's such a wonderful thing, Brother Steve, to see so many people gathered together. And no mask. Just us and our plain old faces. And we can tell what each other looks like. And I know that we faced a very difficult day, and a day that none of us could have ever imagined. We imagined maybe missiles being fired at America and shutting us down, but never a little virus or whatever it was that came from China. We can never imagine such chaos. And what a sad thing to pass by huge churches, buildings that is, and see them empty for so long. Now, I'm grateful for all the means of communication that God has given us through the internet. But there's nothing like being at the house of God on the Lord's day. Not sitting in front of a screen in your pajamas, but dressing up and coming to church. Coming to worship. Coming to do business with God. There are many liberal states, and I'm afraid that ours is one of them. And I said that, not Brother Steve, so talk to me. But many states have even tried to shut down churches. And at least the singing of the songs out in California, they allowed strip joints to continue. But file lawsuits against churches. And they tell us that if we come to church, we shouldn't sing. You didn't pay any attention to that tonight. And of course, I don't guess that's the rule right now. But my response to that, Brother Dan, is this. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God, the children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. Upward to Zion. The beautiful city of the living God. Christ loved the church. Christianity, that the gospel that we preach is a life changer. When we come to Him, He makes us a part of His church. One Lord, one baptism, not divided. Sometimes we hear today individuals say, well, the church is all coming together. Everybody believes anything in God, some kind of God. All of us are just coming together. The church has never been apart, thank you. That is the real church. Ephesians 2 says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth are named. While we're in this world doing the will of God, the rest of our brothers and sisters are in heaven doing the will of God. And they're doing what we're doing on earth. They're worshiping and they're serving God. And of course, It is a sad feeling to see many that were with us, even 2019, that are now with the Lord. We don't sorrow for them. We sorrow for ourselves. And Brother Fox, we do miss him, of course. And Brother Little, Brother Lockheed, and Miss Jude, and I'm sure there's a whole bunch of people that are with the Lord that were here the last time. But they're waiting for us. And we're part of that same assembly. And one day, all the ransomed church of God shall be saved to sin no more. And I know that someday I'll join their ranks. I'm 72 years old. That's hard to say. It's hard to believe I got this old. I'm not that old. I just been around a long time. And I know that I don't have near as long as I have had. But I do know this, that when this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll be singing His power to save. This is a command, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. And that word forsake, of course, means to abandon, to relinquish, to leave in a state of helplessness. It is the word our Savior used when He cried from the cross, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? And when we forsake the church, it leaves the church in a strait. Churches are made up of people. And when people fail to assemble themselves as God has ordained us to do, they abandon the church. They leave it in straits. They leave it helpless. Whatever talent, whatever ability that God has given us as His people, He's given it to us to edify that local assembly. Wouldn't it be a shame if those that have blessed our hearts with the singing today had given their talents to the world instead of the Lord's people? If God has given you any talent, whatever it is, whatever ability, it is to edify that local assembly. God made us all different. Different personalities, different individuals, individually, and different abilities. But it's with the church that God has deposited His truth. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:15, the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Now often at funerals, you hear adulations and eulogies and flattering things. That's the best that a lost world can do. But we have something better as the people of God. We have a word from the Lord. We have a sure word, an eternal word. And we have the blessed hope that can even strike a light out at the tombstone in the graveyard. The knowledge and doctrine of God is God's self-revelation to us. I appreciate Brother Dana's message this morning about the world of eternity, the spiritual world, being connected to this physical world. And thank God we can tune in to that spiritual world through divine revelation. The natural man can't understand that. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. What we're doing tonight, as I was thinking while they were singing and we were praising God, that's foolishness to the world. That makes absolutely no sense to the world. Gather out on a hot Monday night and people praising God about a land that they've never been to. As Brother Dana said, it's already started in our heart, for heaven came down and glory filled our soul the moment God saved us and He made me a part of that glorious band, the church. Thank God for the church. It's all the knowledge of God. Jesus in His Sermon on the Mount, As he taught the people, they were astonished with his doctrine. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:3, which things the angels desire to look into. That is, they're interested in what we preach at the church. I preached yesterday morning on why angels come to church. Ephesians 5, the Bible tells us, Ephesians 3:10, to the intent that now under the principalities and powers, that's the angels, be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. They learn about this wisdom of God, this manifold wisdom, through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. They don't learn it out the football stadium or down at the country club. But angels come to church. And I don't believe they go to any church. I believe they go where the gospel's preached. I don't believe an angel wastes his time going to a liberal church where the gospel's not preached. I believe as soon as a man puts a question beside this book, if an angel's there, they're out of there. There might be some angels here tonight. We can't see them, but they may be here. They're interested in what we're doing. They're interested in this manifold wisdom of God. More about Jesus. And we would know, and the angels are interested in that. Now, they've never experienced this salvation, but they've seen this great mystery through the ages. They saw God create man and that man fall into sin and rebel against God. But they saw that same God take that same man, slay an animal and cover him with skin, tip of the blood. And they saw that man that was vile, that had gone from darkness, from light into darkness. They saw that man able to fellowship with God. They watched our Lord as he hung on the cross. They heard his cries. They were at the tomb, some of them, when he was raised from the dead. And I'm sure some heard the Apostle Paul preach, the apostles. And I think that during the times of Charles Haddon Spurgeon in London, I think angels attended his place a lot of times because he preached. There are 10 places today where the Word's preached. They're interested in what we're doing. And they want to know about this manifold wisdom of God. They want to know more about how God in mercy and grace has come down to fallen man and has saved us and placed us in his church. I'm a part of the church by grace through faith. I'm a part of this glorious assembly because of what my Lord accomplished on the cross. The angels are interested in that. Let us draw near with a true heart, a sincerity of heart. Worship means absolutely nothing if the heart is not in it. The people, God said, honor me with their lips, but their hearts is from me. And the Bible says that the sacrifices of God, a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, oh God, thou wilt not despise. Save in faith will stand the test of the Word of God. Christ saves his people from their sins, and he sends his Holy Ghost to dwell within so that we're radically changed. As a matter of fact, it was the Holy Ghost that shed abroad the love of God in our hearts. You hear about love in this place and in a true church. It's because the Holy Ghost has shed the love of Christ abroad in our hearts. The reality of faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. A local church would not exist if every person concealed his faith. One leading politician's wife said that her husband's faith is so secret that she didn't even know about it. Well, I wouldn't want that kind. But if it's real faith, if it's saying faith, it'll get out on you. And if it don't ever get out on you, I'm afraid it never got in you. It's joy unspeakable. It's full of glory. If you get saved, I believe somehow, somewhere, you'll have to tell it. You'll have to rejoice in it. If that saving grace is in your heart, the reality of faith. Saved people love to be identified with the church. A local church cannot exist without spiritual, living, visible people in the flesh who walk, who hear, who see, who worship, and witness. I mean, after all, you can't get full on invisible food. Delicious meal we enjoyed today, but suppose Brother Stephen had said, the lunch is ready, and we went over there, and there was just an empty table. And we pretended we were eating. We'd leave just as hungry as we came. I mean, if you get full, you got to have real, literal food, or you don't get fed. And you don't get fed with something invisible. The Lord's church is visible. It's visible in the sense that it's in this world now, doing the will of God, feed the flock of God. And we're fed through the Word of God. Invisible people don't pay the bills. Invisible people don't maintain the church. Invisible people don't send out missionaries. Invisible people don't come to camp meetings, let alone support it. We are visible. We're the visible body of Jesus Christ on this earth. The rest are in heaven, but we're visible. We're real. Touch us. We bleed. We're flesh and blood. We're real people, but we've been saved by grace, and we come to this place to express our gratitude to God. We come to the church to be fed. We come to the church not only to be fed, but to be a blessing to others. A confession, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Since the New Testament times, God has used the witness of the church. The last words Jesus ever spoke were to the church. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. And one of the essential reasons that God's church comes together is for a corporate witness. We're here not only to be fed from His Word or at His church, to be fed from His Word, but we're here as a witness. The church is alive, and the church is well. Now, you remember that when Moses was dealing with Pharaoh about the Israelites leaving from Egypt, the first thing Pharaoh suggested was that you sacrifice your God here in this land. In other words, you don't have to leave the land of slavery. You don't have to leave the land of bondage. You can serve God right here. And that's the attitude of the world. You don't have to have a radical change. Nobody likes the fanatic. Everybody ought to go to church every now and then. A little religion's good. You don't have to leave the world. Just stay in the hog pen. Just clean it up a little. Spray some gay parade and make it look a little better. Just stay in the hog pen. But when the Lord saves you, you must leave the land of Egypt and the far country. His second proposal was, don't go very far. In other words, if you got to go, don't go too far. And the world says the same thing about those of us that have been saved. It's all right to have a little religion. Religion is always a good thing, and it's a commendable thing, but just don't get too involved in the things of God. And then he suggested that they leave their families, their babies, and their wives, and the herds. But Moses said, we're all going. As a matter of fact, when he wanted them to leave the cow, he said, not a hoof should be left behind. That's God's salvation. Not a hoof should be left behind. If God saves you, he don't 99 3/4% does the job. He does it completely. If any man be in Christ, he has become a new creature. And the former things are passed away. And all things have become new. And the inheritor says, well, just leave your herds and leave your substance behind. Just go empty-handed. And of course, the devil knows that the church is dependent on the giving and the talents of that local assembly, on our time, our tithes, and our lives. But the world has the idea, it's all right to be a part of a church. Just don't go too far. I mean, you don't want to get so far out you become a fanatic. And it'll be all right if you want to continue to drink liquor. We'll just call it a nice name, maybe a martini or Bahama Mama or a cocktail. And if you want to gamble, that's all right. We'll just call it the lottery. You just stay in the world. I want to tell him the Lord saves you. He saves totally and completely. And those that make up the church have been separated from the world. Be not conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. We are to be fearful witnesses. Hold fast. And that suggests the idea of a warrior who faithfully carries the banner into battle. A church's ambition is not to be like the world, but to reflect the glory of our Lord. God, our Lord said to the angel of Ephesus that unless they repented, he would remove the candlestick out of the place, except thou repent. If God takes away his power, if God takes away his glory, it's over. And Brother Steve, I think that there are local churches. Ichabod spiritually has been written over them. The glory departed. Churches across this country that were once great powerhouses for God, where the gospel was preached in power, and where our Lord was mightily lifted up, and now have become little more than just a social place to socialize. What a terrible thing when God's glory is removed. When God takes away his glory. I don't care who comes to preach. I don't care who comes to sing. Then there'll be no manifestation from the heaven. It's a terrible thing when God takes away his glory. Read Ezekiel 10. You want to see a sad story? Read that chapter and watch as the glory of God is lifted out of the temple. Watch the glory of God as it leaves the courtyard to the east over the Mount of Olives. And that glory is gone. And that glory is departed. I don't know about you, but I don't want God to take away his power. I don't want God to take away his glory. And that's why we need meetings so desperately like this one. This meeting's made up of churches. And I'm grateful for Calvary Baptist Church and the burden they've carried through all these years. And the local churches that assist and help. And all those across the country that help. We're here to receive something from God. We didn't come to be seen or to see. We come to hear a word from God. And we've heard it. And this place last year, I'm sure must have been a sad sight to see these empty pews. I know your church had some services here. But don't you praise God they're not empty tonight. We're back. We're business. For the Lord shall never desert his church. I will not desert my church. Jesus said it upon this rock. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.